Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west. We are in Ashburn, VA, baby.
Colburn.
Yo, it's cold out here, man. I'm going to give you a, I'm going to get my camera on. I'm going to give you a legit feels like. Okay, what do you think it feels like
out
there?
It feels like, I would say, 17.
Okay, so the temperature is 23 degrees right now in Ashburn, Virginia. Feels like, per my phone, B. Mitch guessed 17. Feels like 15 out there.
Well, I tell you, my head felt it. I had to throw the hood on the day.
Bro, it was cold. I have a show tonight, so I tried to comb my hair so I can have my hair combed for the day. That lasted a second of being outside, and I immediately put a hat on.
You comb your hair in the morning, and you don't comb it no more?
If I get it right, like if you're looking at the stream right now, like this is TV ready, and if I get it right in the morning, it typically holds throughout the day. I'll have to give it a little cleanup, but like if I get it right, I'm good. But once I put the hat on, I'm cooked.
How much spray you put on that thing?
Not a drop, baby. Oh, natural.
That's why it's not holding.
Right. Well, I mean, I have stuff I can put in.
I can't even put mine in the morning and do nothing to it. I got to do something before the afternoon.
While we're talking personal appearance, I do want to talk to you. I would open the phone lines on this topic,
right,
but it's divisional round of the playoffs, so we can't waste too much time. Sunday at Buck Stadium, you looked at me and talked about this.
It's back.
Bro, I don't think it's a zit. I don't know. It won't go away. And what's incredibly bizarre, yo, if you're on the stream right now, I'll give you a close-up look. You see that joint right there?
Hey, I saw it from a distance. I don't know if Donald was telling you, but...
B, it's weird. Like, do you ever see the Seinfeld episode where he's dating this girl that looks different depending on the lighting? I'm telling you, whatever's going on with my nose, like, if I'm back here, it looks pretty normal. If you get up close...
I can see it still, Jay.
But now you're looking for it. But you don't...
No. You can see the difference.
But it's not a zit. A zit would have gone away. I've been putting treatment on this thing for...
Well, what
five,
the hell is
six,
it?
I don't know. I need a doctor.
Let me see. On the other side.
Other side?
It's an ugly spot, though.
I mean, it just happened at age 43. I got an ugly spot.
It came back again, dog.
I'm telling you, it won't go away. I don't know what to do.
Go ask Donna again today. See if she's.
I'll ask Donna today.
If she says she don't see it, she's just BSing you.
So, I got lots of confessions this morning. I need help with whatever's going on my nose, and it's like the absolute tip of my nose. I look like freaking Rudolph. Landfill wants me to send him a picture. The answer is no, Landfill.
Landfill, just look on the street.
Yeah.
I'll try to work one out for you today.
Yesterday was Jeff's birthday. Very happy birthday to Jeff. I was coming in. I was fine time-wise this morning, completely fine. And I was listening to PFT's podcast, and they're doing ads for Doritos. And they did this, like, long conversation about how good Doritos were, and I just had to stop. Like, it got in my brain. There was no way I wasn't eating Doritos. So if you see the bag behind you, I also was like, it's divisional round. I'm going to get some food for the people. I got big bag of Doritos, big bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, big joint of Oreos, and a big thing of Fudge Stripes. I feel like that's pretty good junk snack food for the room. You can fuss all you want. I know you're going to eat it once I open them.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I'll take the over on maybe not.
Maybe not.
But
I may eat some of the Oreos.
Okay.
But Doritos.
But because I stopped at Wegmans, unplanned, this was an unplanned stop, then all of a sudden my time got very tight. And
you got to learn. When your time is tight, don't stop.
Sure, but it was
then
a craving.
Then you get a phone call to tell somebody to get it.
It was a craving.
All you had to do is call Cody. You're done.
Yeah, but then I got to walk out there and meet him. It's fine. So I'm here on time. We're all good. You know, we've already done all of our planning. And, you know, it's well documented how we park on the grass out there. And
the snow.
Well, the snow-ish, but the snow is like melting a little bit, and now stuff's starting to freeze over because it feels like it's 15. Mm-hmm. I was coming in a little hot.
Did you slide?
It was the electric slide out there.
Part next to me.
I was fine.
You almost hit my car. Didn't
no, 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 because there was more snow up there. I'm talking about the part right. You know they have those cones set up.
Yeah,
it's pretty slick right there when you pull in, and I maybe should have pulled in a little slower. To the point where I get out of the truck and I'm walking up here, and the guys that run the gatehouse are cool. Like, we've known them forever. And generally, it's just, especially when it's this cold, because they got heat in the little gatehouse.
Yeah, they shut it.
It's just a wave. He opened the door and said, "You got 2 minutes to spare," as I was kind of hustling my way up to the annex. But, dude, all right, so it's today's Wednesday. We're going to hear from the coordinators today, Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt. It's going to be a very interesting day as these guys gear up for what is undoubtedly the biggest matchup, frankly, of their coaching careers, I would say. Now, Joe Witt may have been a coach on some teams that went to the NFC title game in Green Bay, and Dallas got to the divisional round. And I think Dallas lost in the first round both while he was down there. But Joe Witt has been on staffs that may have gone farther than this, but never as the D coordinator. I don't believe Kingsbury's been on staffs that have gone farther than this or even gotten to this level. And both of them are now legitimately in conversations to get head coaching jobs elsewhere. Whether they take it, whether they get offers, that's a different conversation. But both Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury are on a national level of interest now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fascinating to hear them today. Cliff doesn't like to give us a lot. Cliff kind of laughs at jokes. Joe Witt is so intense and so focused on accountability and turnovers. I think that the test before him against this Detroit offense that has speed and power and weapons and precision.
They try to just take your heart.
I mean, but that's a dude. You know the famous gif of Jon Snow? I think it's Jon Snow from Game of Thrones with the whole army coming at him. He's just standing there with his sword. Like, taking Joe Witt's heart is impossible. Now, they might lose. They might not execute properly. They might not have all the horses, but he'll never back down. And I think it's going to be fascinating to hear him talk in advance of this matchup today.
Mm-hmm. But I think the whole thing about it, though, you got to – You can think what you want sometimes, but you also have to be – you got to face reality and understand you may have to adjust some things. And this is a game you're playing against a team that they come at you in many, many different ways. And you're going to have to probably adjust a little bit. You may have to take some risks. Because one thing I know, Jared Goff, if he's not pressured, he picks you apart. If he's pressured, he'll throw the ball to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of – I mean, not to oversimplify, but you and I talked about Baker like that last week.
Yeah.
And I think that was known. Now, Goff only threw 12 picks this year. I believe five of them
he
came
did five in one game.
One game.
Yeah.
So if you could remove the outlier, which I would always advise, he threw seven picks over 16 games, 37 touchdowns, almost over 4,600 passing yards. The discussion around is Goff good to me has been retired for some time.
He's good.
Goff is quite good. He's been good for a while.
He took a team to a Super Bowl.
He's got,
and look at the numbers he's put since he's been in Detroit.
Dude, they were in the NFC title game last year. Jared Goff is good. Anybody that thinks he isn't, you're an idiot. That doesn't mean they – I loved what I heard in the locker room yesterday. And I, if you want to watch – what I've started to do on my YouTube page is just put up like all the video we gather from the locker room, because a lot of that stuff is edit room floor. Like, there's just not enough time on television for all that stuff. And I think fans really care about getting to watch all of it. And the first person that said it to me, and then I heard it from multiple guys in the locker room, completely respectful of Detroit. It was Quan Martin was the first guy that said it. He said, "They're really good. We understand that. We respect them, but we're good too." You don't get to this level. There's only eight teams left. There's 32 teams in the league. There's only eight teams left.
Yeah.
Washington is good and belongs to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be your mindset, right?
Totally, totally. If that's not your mindset, then you're fooling yourselves. You know, like, I know I've been in the media a long time now, but I still hear it all the time where fans and a lot of media people – automatically just, oh, they don't have a chance. There's not a player that play in this league that don't think they have a chance. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen games where you assume that a team don't have a chance, and all of a sudden they win the game. You know, and what happens is when you start listening to the outside voices, you start thinking like them. So that when you tell the team, oh, you know, you're playing this team, they don't have a chance, they start believing that team don't have a chance until it's 5 minutes left in the game and they're up by one touchdown on you. Or they only down by 3 points and they got the ball in their hand with 4 minutes or something to go and they go down and they, you know, win the game on you. Players always think they have a chance, and they should.
I found this pretty damn interesting, B. Do you know how many times in your career you made it to the divisional round?
I don't know.
4 times.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive. And I think they're missing one because I don't know how – maybe you're – that doesn't
– 99, we went to the divisional round. When we went to the Super Bowl.
No, so it was – so your rookie year, then you guys win one and then go to San Fran?
Yep.
Obviously, 91.
Yep.
92, you went and then lost in the second round. And then 99 and then 2000 in Philly. Mm-hmm. How many – was it
– well, in Philly, it was 2001 and 2.
That's what I thought. So it was all 3 years you were in Philly,
yeah.
Right? So that – this is – because Pro Football Reference is only – gauging your games you had touches in and not returns, they shorted you. So 90, 91, 92 is 3. 99 is 4. And then another 3 times in Philly, right?
I think we went to
twice.
We went twice. We went twice to the championship.
Right, so that's at least twice to the divisional round.
Yeah.
And you might have gone to, unless you lost to the wild card round the other year, you probably got to the divisional round and then lost.
First year, I think we won one and lost the next round.
I think you were in the divisional round of the playoffs half of your career.
That's fine.
I'm just saying that's pretty remarkable, honestly. I'll run through that in the break. But what is – oh, here, I finally got it here. Yeah, dude, so, I mean, you went a lot. The 90 season, the 91 season, the 92 season, 2000 season, the 01 season, the 02 season, and the 03 season. 7 times out of 14 years.
Dude, you skipped 99? You said 2000.
The games were in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, so the 99 season.
Yeah.
What is the mentality like going into this week?
Just like it was last week. You know?
Even though, like, sometimes I know players are coached and taught to keep the same mindset, but do you not feel the difference?
No. Just like what Jaden said yesterday, it's the same game for me. That's the message I got my first year here. You know what? You're going to feel that the elevation changes, but your mindset, you got to go through your same motions. You know, if you start feeling that this game is more than any other game, what do? You start pressing. You start trying to do different things. You know, you put extra pressure on yourself. No need for that. You just go through you go through the same things. Now you may go through that film a little deeper, a little more times. You know, you may look at your notes extra because what happens as you go forward, it's only the mistakes. If you can alleviate your mistakes and the other team may have mistakes, you win that football game, hands down.
It's crazy because the locker room, I thought, was the right mix of kind of loose and locked in. And they've been like that largely most of the season. The only time I thought they got a little tight was during that 3-game losing streak. And that was 3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 months ago at least? That was late October, wasn't it? It was I think you got to give the staff a lot of credit for how they've set things up, and I think you got to give the players a lot of credit for keeping it locked in.
And what happens is you had so many young guys on this team, it's their first time dealing with that, but you have some veteran guys who understood how to get out of it. And watching Bobby and Jaden, watching that relationship right there, that tells me a lot. You know, these guys look for those older guys for guidance. But when they get it, they get it. and then they start to implement it in their own everyday life. They don't do like a lot of young kids today that automatically think that the old person don't know what the hell he's talking about. When, if they learn to listen, maybe they wouldn't have so many damn mistakes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because the veteran dudes have gone through this stuff. They understand what's happening. And they can get you to the other side a lot quicker.
I'd like to dismiss something. I don't want anyone thinking this, okay? I got this tweet from Patrick Boozer. Here are the Lions' wins. Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, Titans, Packers, Texans, Jags, Colts, Bears, Packers, Bears, 49ers, Vikings. That's 8 wins against below 500 teams. I'm not impressed. Anybody that's on that train of thought, get off it.
You know, but
that is so. That's the same dumb stuff that people want to say Washington has to beat playoff teams.
The reason he's doing that is because people did it to Washington.
Well, it's dumb both ways.
But if you go through any football season, any season, and you start looking at the actual wins against whether the team a playoff team or not, a lot of them played against teams. But you know who you're playing against? Professionals, NFL football teams. You got to beat them. Line them up, knock them down. So that is coming based off – that is a direct hit on who was saying what Washington didn't do.
Okay.
But ignore it.
It's really dumb. Don't think this. Yo, it's okay to go into this game recognizing Detroit is good. Detroit is good, but you know, so is Washington.
The fans can think what they want.
Sure.
The football team.
I'm just trying to help.
The football team and the coaches can't think that. And believe me, they aren't.
They don't think that.
That's what I'm saying.
No way they think
so
that.
So let the fans do what they do because the fans are fanatical. They always are, like, way out there. Hell, we work with Jeff every day. We know that. Way out there. Jeff is on the...
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Plank?
Happy birthday.
What's the little plank they call it when you walk it?
I'm
the
good,
plank,
man. Thank you.
The yeah. They always on the edge. So you understand that.
Jeff, we didn't get to wish you a happy birthday yesterday. How are you,
buddy? Happy birthday, Jeffrey.
Thank you, fellas. I'm good.
All right. What'd you get into last night? WF 3.0?
Can't tell us all that.
I just had a great night.
Glad to hear it, buddy. How old are you, Jeffrey? 31? 33? You may be aging in half dog years, we determined.
Yeah, I'm 31, man.
All right. Your 31. Reggie Miller year. Enjoy it.
I can't remember that year.
Well, I know what you can remember.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
You mean to tell you where you were at 31?
No, you have to tell me where I were.
Where were you?
Where I was. I was all over the place.
You're probably in Philly.
Yeah, I was.
Age 31, your last year in D.C. You probably turned 31 that August of 99, right? I'm not a math guy, but weren't you born in 68? Mm-hmm. Bang! Look at your boy.
Look at you. You're learning a little bit.